or the deeper I started to dig, I realized that this could very well be the issue with every single problem that I was having that seemed unrelated.
It took you 25 years to get to this point.
Better late than never. It did. It took a long time. It was a very, very long road. It was lonely. I lost, you know, obviously my 20s and a lot of my 30s, but I think God has a plan.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
She suffered for 25 years, has seen over 60 doctors, and been on over 100 courses of antibiotics. She's had several surgeries and many chronic illnesses, and is now finally beginning to get well. She's about 90% there. But what was the root cause of her mystery illnesses? And could this be the problem that's ailing many Americans today, especially those with chronic illnesses who can never seem to get well? Well, Erin Porter is a photographer turned health enthusiast who, when she learned how to turn around her chronic health problem, started helping others do the same by improving their diet and by sharing her story. Erin has been suffering for 25 years with mold toxicity.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Now, the theme of this podcast and the title and my site, of course, as you well know, is The Misdiagnosed Life. And I believe this is one of the main problems that's misdiagnosed today. I think it's the root cause of many problems. Now, to give you a little bit of background about the mold issue so you can understand it a little bit better, the experts feel like that the mold issue and the problems mold is causing really started in the 70s. In the 70s, they started having more high-efficient and energy-efficient homes and buildings. And the problem is fine for saving on your energy bill and that kind of thing, but there's a certain percentage of people, they feel like 25% of the population has what's called the mold gene. And some of you may have heard me talk about this before. We've got a good bit of experience with this. The mold gene just means your body your immune system doesn't recognize the mold toxins as being dangerous, and thus it has problems getting rid of the mold toxins. What happens with a certain percent, about 25% of the population, is the body cannot get rid of the mold toxins, and the mold toxins stay in your system, and certain mold toxins, especially trichlorpicine and other ones, are really, really bad. And if they can't get out, what they can do is they can suppress the immune system. They damage the gut, the brain, the liver. There's been a good bit of research on this, and causes many problems and many health problems. And it can be easily overlooked if you don't know to look for it. Now, the problem is, they say about 50% of the buildings in America have mold issues. So when you take a building that's airtight and 50% of them have mold issues, well, the mold spores off-gas these toxins. And so if the toxins and the gases are being off-gassed through the walls and the floor and the ceiling and whatnot, and they're in an airtight building, then the gases can't easily leave. So if you're one of the people that have the mold gene and you absorb these toxins and your body can't get rid of them, then you're effectively in a modern day gas chamber is what these mold buildings end up being, especially for people that, like I said, that if you have the mold gene and you can't detox the mold out of your system. And so that's what they feel like is more of the root cause of these mold issues and how and why this has come about and why used to we didn't hear so much of this because, you know, before the 70s, the houses were not very well, you know, especially a long time ago, that, you know, the houses weren't very well insulated, they weren't airtight, and yes, your energy bills may be higher, but of course, way back when, they didn't have to worry with energy bills. But anyway, but it was actually a lot healthier because the houses could breathe better. And they say, actually, now it's good for everybody to just open your doors or windows at least for 10 or 15 minutes a day and just let fresh air come in and let these toxins, because other toxins can build up in houses too, and just let these toxins, you know, leave the house, you know, because that's just good for everybody. But especially if you happen to be one of the people that have that has the mold gene. So that's just a little bit of a background on this and why this is. They really feel like this is such a problem, and it does make sense. But now I want to talk with Erin. She's going to share her story today with us. Now, Erin, what started your health problems, and when did they start?
They started when I was 6 years old. We moved out of an apartment building in the Bronx, and we bought a house upstate, about an hour upstate, and immediately I got allergies and pretty bad asthma, and the doctors said, oh, the trees are different up here in upstate New York. It's probably just allergy-related asthma. Then at 18, I moved into an apartment that had visible mold, and my health took a complete nosedive from there. I got my first sinus infection. And even Manhattan's best ear, nose, and throat doctors could not get rid of this sinus infection. I went on course after course of antibiotics. When they didn't work, they put me on a stronger course. And then I'd say about a year into trying to get rid of my sinus infection, I started getting chronic fatigue and things like nerve pain and reflux, and years later fibromyalgia, and then heart arrhythmias. And instead of enjoying, I talk about this on my blog, you know, here I am, a young girl, a teenager in Manhattan. Instead of enjoying this beautiful city, I'm running from doctor to doctor.
Yeah, and how old were you again? Were you around 18, 19?
Started about 18 is when my health got even worse.
Okay, now back up just a little bit. Now, you said when you were 6. Now, what age did you move? Mm-hmm. Was it 6 when you moved?
6 years old.
Okay, yep. And you feel like you moved to a mold toxic house.
We didn't know it at the time. We used to joke about how the house smelled moldy, but this was back in the 70s where nobody paid much attention to mold.
Right.
And so never did we make a connection that maybe I was sick and the rest of the family had allergies.
So
we never made a connection.
Yeah, so you're sick. You got worse when you moved. Now, did you stay in that house till you were 18 and moved to another house?
I stayed in that house until I was 18, and then I got a job in Manhattan and moved into an apartment where there was visible mold. And again, although back then I think I would clean the mold and never thinking that this is what could be making me sick. Never in a million years did I think about mold.
Right, right. But so obviously, when you moved to the apartment in Manhattan, you got a bigger mold hit, thus it made you sicker.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when did you start tying your sickness to the mold exposure?
I think it was probably about 2004. I saw a different ENT. He took a look at my CAT scan and said, you have a severe fungal infection. And this was, I had already had, I think, 3 prior sinus surgeries at this point. So he did a 4th and, scraped out all the fungus, and at that point, that's when I learned everything I could my hands on about fungus. And the deeper I started to dig, I realized that this could very well be the issue with every single problem that I was having that seemed unrelated.
It took you 25 years to get to this point.
Better late than never. It did. It took a long time. It was a very, very long road. It was lonely. I lost, you know, obviously my 20s and a lot of my 30s, but I think God has a plan. And here I am. I feel wonderful today. In 2010, after years of taking antifungals and antifungal diet, I was able to get rid of every health ailment that I had, except for the sinuses that seemed to be holding strong. I have to be very careful of being anywhere where there's a high mold count because my sinuses are still vulnerable. And I found a wonderful doctor last year in Atlanta who made me aware that although I'm doing all the right things by taking antifungals and doing an antifungal diet, I was not addressing my air. And no, I'm not in that same apartment. In fact, I've probably moved 10 or 15 times in that time period. You bring a lot of your old, you know, even your clothes can keep the spores, mold spores and papers, and you pack things from your past and you're bringing that mold with you. And what I didn't realize was most people with chronic sinusitis have a T-cell deficiency, is what this doctor taught me, and you have to be extra diligent about keeping your air clean. So at that point, I bought filters, air filters, and an antifungal solution I wash my clothes in. I even spray my house once a week with an antifungal agent. And
this is a special, this is a special formula that the doctor recommended, and it's citrus-based, right? Yeah, because you have to be careful. Yeah, you have to be careful what you clean it with, or you'll make it worse.
Yes, and it's safe for pets. And I even use Petri dishes, and I test my house and have the mold level down to a zero. And so I have to live a little bit differently. I have to be careful, you know, going into old buildings. If I smell mold, you know, I am out of there very quickly. And I wanted to get this across to people, and I started the website because there's so many people that are probably so lost like I was and losing hope in their doctors, and I think they're never going to get well, that you might be surprised to find out that all your issues could just very well be related to mold. And, you know, people might say, well, my house is so clean. And that's the funny thing, is it doesn't matter how clean you keep your house. Fungus is everywhere. And it can go undetected in walls or on your clothes.
Right. And there has to be, there's not many people in America that really know how to test for mold. And even you may not, you don't have to visibly see it. And you really have to be really, really diligent to find one that can really find the mold, you know, find a person that can detect and know how to look for the mold. And then, of course, then to clean it appropriately, because you don't just throw anything at this stuff because you can make it worse. You have to use, as they've tested it, a citrus-based formula to clean the mold, to clean the mold up with. So now you saw about 60 or so doctors during this time. And was this, I mean, that is outrageous number.
From the time I was 18 to present, probably somewhere between 50 and 60 doctors. And like I said, I had a cardiologist for my arrhythmias, and I had a neurologist for the nerve pain, and I had a GI doctor for the reflux. I had every kind of specialist, and never did anybody except the one ENT ever suggest, you know, fungal issues. So to me, when I saw something like my chronic fatigue and the fibromyalgia clear up after antifungals, I said, this is amazing. This is not a coincidence. And I thought, there's so many people that have no idea that there's a link. And by the way, there is research that there is a link between fungus and fibromyalgia.
Oh, absolutely. So, there's a lot of research on the mold toxicity out there.
And I'm excited to get that out there. And, you know, there's other ways we make ourselves susceptible to systemic fungal infections. And that's the way we eat. Us Americans, we have a high sugar, high carb diet, which makes us the absolute perfect host to fungus because that's how they live and stay alive. And that's how they thrive.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Dr. Mercola of Mercola.com says that mold illness may be the most prominent health problem physicians are missing today, a hidden pandemic that's sweeping the nation. Listening to The Misdiagnosed Life, I'm Beverly Butler, your host. We're on the America Out Loud Network, and we're so happy to have everybody listening. I'm talking to Erin Porter, and she is a lady that has had she's been sick for over 25 years, and they finally discovered the root cause of her problem is mold toxicity. And we've been talking about that, and we're just getting into, before the break, we're just getting into the diet. And she is talking about how that she was raised on sugar. And I noticed I read on her website, she says she was raised on Captain Crunch and Sugar Smacks. And I just had to kind of laugh when I read that, because that's, I have two younger sisters, and we all three were raised on Captain Crunch, Sugar Smacks, and Fruit Loops, and all the good sugar stuff. I mean, it was just like we might as well have just been eating candy for breakfast, but because essentially we were, because it was just sugar. So yeah, I was raised on that. Many of us were raised on that, as we were growing up, and it's so, so bad for you. Tell us more about you being raised on the sugar, and how you kind of made that connection that sugar is not, and I guess through your research.
Yes, and my mother's going to kill me when she hears this, but we grew up like every other family, and we had all the empty carbs and the bagels and the sugar. And
we just didn't realize back then how bad it was for us.
It's not her fault. We didn't realize back then. And those are the habits that I carried into adulthood. And I have always been naturally thin. So I never thought about not only what was I eating, but how much. And I binged. I would binge eat and never gain a pound. Wow. So it was always a joke about how, you know, I could eat an entire birthday cake. And I don't know why I didn't gain, but I didn't. And I see now that I was so addicted to sugar, and that's the reason I would binge and I couldn't stop.
Right, it was the craving.
Once I had a taste of sugar,
the craving.
It was the craving.
Yeah. So how did you break your sugar addiction?
It wasn't easy. Once I started researching and I said, I am participating in my own illness, and I knew that I had to get off sugar, and I got to tell you, it took a long time because it wasn't easy. So then I started coming up with my own recipes and having all the desserts on hand every night so that I would not cheat. And then I said, oh, I got to share these.
You're talking about healthy desserts.
Healthy desserts with the sweeteners that are okay, like stevia,
right,
and xylitol. And that's pretty much all I will use in my recipes. And that's what keeps me on task and able to not cheat, and was ultimately able to recover, is because I cut out sugar and wheat and corn and peanuts and those kind of foods that are just universally moldy or can cause fungal issues.
Or feed the fungus. Yeah. Yeah.
Feed the fungus. And feed the, yes.
Now, what kind of diet actually did you actually do, just to really, now what's really popular now, and I think it's a very good diet, is the ketogenic diet, where it's a high healthy fat and real low carb diet. Is that the top diet you did, or did you do a different one, or what kind of diet?
What I did was, you know, our wheat supply and our peanut and our corn supply has been proven to be full of mold. So it was one thing that I removed from my diet. So that and sugar and all the things that feed fungus. So now I eat a lot of meat and fish and nuts and fruit. And even fruit I keep to the less sugar, like the berries and the grapefruit and lemons and lime. The fruits that are lower in sugar is what I stick to.
Yeah.
And lots of vegetables. And like you said, a lot of healthy fat. And like I said, I still have my desserts. I just have to make them myself, made a little bit different. And you do not have to deprive yourself. Once you learn how to cook without all these American staples that we have that are just not good for us, you will feel like a different person physically.
Right. Yeah, I've been really working on my diet. And I, Oh, when I cheat, I can tell. And I'm like, man, that really did have a huge effect. So when you clean up your diet and you actually, then if you happen to cheat here and there, you can really tell how diet really affects you. And it's a big difference. And that motivates you to stick with it.
It does motivate. It motivates me to stick with it, not only because I don't ever want to go down that road again, but when I cheat for more than a day or two, I will get sick in my sinuses. I see the difference, and it makes it easier to stick to it.
Now, what was the main thing that helped you get better? Are you saying the diet really helped and just watching your environment?
I would say the combination of diet and antifungals. And I did antifungals. I irrigated with them, like amphotericin B and voriconazole, into my sinuses. But then I also did over-the-counter antifungals, and I still do and probably will for life. And I just rotate, like garlic and caprylic acid and apple cider vinegar.
Right. It's real good to rotate those things.
Yes. Yeah. Fungus are smart. And if you don't rotate, they'll find a way to live and work around.
Right.
And I will probably rotate those for life just to be on the safe side. And those two things made the biggest difference because, like I said, my health was completely turned around beside the sinuses. Now, what made the most for the sinuses was addressing the air. That really helped.
And so you have air purifiers? You have air purifiers?
I do. I have air purifiers. So I think you have to look at your air, what you're eating, those are the two. And feed yourself antifungals. And I think those are the three things. And they're simple things for people to try, which is so exciting.
Yeah. Now, have you ever had your house thoroughly checked for mold? I mean, people that to actually go behind the walls.
No, I have not, because we bought the Petri dishes, and I can see exactly what's happening in my house. And there were two rooms that were a little high, not too high, that we had tested and we sent away, and they were not dangerous molds, but we still went to work taking down that mold content. Or that mold count.
Okay. Now, I want to back up just a little bit. Now, you were on a lot of antibiotics. Now, when did it dawn on you that all of those antibiotics were not helping but harming your body? There was some point you woke up to that.
Yes, but it was probably too late by that point. You know, this was the 80s when there was no internet yet. And I remember almost feeling healthier when I was on them, because I would have that couple week reprieve from the infection, and I would think, these are really working. This is a wonderful thing, these antibiotics. And then, of course, once I was off the antibiotics, it would come right back. And so it probably was a good 10, 15 years before information started coming out about how they can be detrimental to your health. And by that time, my gut was so destroyed. All my good bacteria was gone, which, again, gives fungus a stronghold when you get rid of the good bacteria in your stomach.
Right, right. So are you doing something, I'm sure, now to address your gut issues?
So, yes, lots of probiotics, and that's something else that I will stick to for life. Take them every day. And if I ever have to be on an antibiotic again, which I hope not, I will absolutely follow up with probiotics.
Yeah. Are you taking something to kill the bad bugs also? You can do natural things to, like, kill the yeast and the bad bugs in your gut along with the probiotics.
I am not. I have heard something recently about doing that, and I thought about going and getting a workup from a GI doctor and seeing if there's anything bad to kill.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And I also wanted to ask, have you done any detoxes to get rid of the mold toxins that are probably circulating? You know, mold loves the brain and it can go to various places. And what are you doing? Because I know some doctors do this. They do specific protocols. And I, of course, we're not giving medical advice or anything, but I highly suggest if you think you have mold issues, find a good doctor that is experienced and knows how to treat and help you detox from mold.
Well, there's a couple things. One is something called Ultra Clear, which detoxes your liver. And I've been on that a few times. And most recently, I'm actually on oxygen, and I do it once a day. And because it's such a fantastic detox. And my infection, you know, was so severe and had such a stronghold that that was something that I required to try to get this out of my system.
Yeah. So so where are you now with you with your health? You've said you're about 90% better. So do you still have a little ways to go, don't you?
I feel fantastic. I have energy. My sinuses are clear. Like I said, I have to be careful. I took my son bowling, and as soon as I walked in, I could smell the mold. And by the time I got home, I could tell an infection was wanting to start. So although I'm doing fantastic right now, and I'm infection-free, that doesn't mean 2 weeks from now, if I eat wrong or let myself stay in a moldy environment, my body will not try to get sick with a sinus infection. But all the other issues that I had are in the past, thank God. And so my sinuses seem to be my weak spot, but as long as I do what I know I need to do to keep them healthy, then I'm doing great.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's very good. It's real good to hear. Now, tell people about your site, eatpraygetwell.com.
Yes, I started Eat, Pray, Get Well. It's been almost a year now, and I thought maybe it would help just a couple hundred people, but, God had a different plan, and it took on a life of its own, and been on a few TV shows now talking about it, and I'm just so excited because the word is going to get out to people who have been to multiple doctors, just like I have been, and they're not getting any answers, and some of them are getting worse and they're losing hope. So this is just something exciting for me that people are going to be able to try something new and maybe have a chance at recovering. Because the sad part is, although it's something easy to do, changing your diet and getting on antifungals, so many people will never hear that there's a connection, and there is no getting healthy if you continue down the path that you're on.
Right.
And that makes me sad for people.
Yeah. And unless and until you get to the root cause of the problem, it's just going to be one thing after the other.
You're going to continue to get different health issues that you think are unrelated. And when my son was born, I remember there was a point where I started writing him letters because I honestly didn't know how much longer I was going to be around. I felt like I was dying, and I thought that they can't find out what's wrong with me, and, you know, I might not be here in a couple of years. So there's people out there that have young children, and they feel so bad they think they might be dying. And it's sad because fungus, if you just take control of it, you can overcome it. But at first it's learning that that could be the culprit of your health issues.
Right. And it's so important that they do their research and that they learn these things. And I wanted to mention, just to give an example of how bad one of the, and I'm not, the different mold toxins have different levels of severity and danger. But one of the main mold toxins is called trichophysin. We call it tricho for short. And back in the 80s, just to give an example of how bad this toxin is, mold toxin is, back in the 80s, Saddam Hussein sprayed the Kurds to test it. He sprayed trichophysin over a group of Kurds, like I said, in the 80s. And in 3 hours, they were all dead. They bled out. And so that is how bad that particular mold toxin is.
And the funny thing about mold is in a household, everybody can be healthy and one can be dead in a year. It all depends on how your body reacts to it.
Correct. And if you have the mold gene or not. I think that's a critical.
Yes. And what they found in my sinuses was called aspergillomas, which are fungal balls.
Yeah.
And that particular fungus has been proven to go on to cause cancer. Mycotoxins. And so aspergillus is what has been sitting in my sinuses, or had been, you know, for 15, 20 years. And that's what makes me nervous. And in fact, a lot of people who have been diagnosed with lung cancer, they find actually had aspergillomas in their lungs.
In their lungs. Yeah, yeah. And you
the treatment is completely different. And your prognosis, if it's, you know, clot and they tell you what it actually is instead of cancer, you know, your prognosis is wonderful. So I get excited about getting the word out there to people to dig a little deeper, because these fungal balls, these aspergillomas, depending on where they are in your body, mimic and look exactly like cancer.
Yeah. So that is very interesting. And I've known of one person in particular that had a fungal ball in his lungs. He's having trouble breathing and stuff. So these things can go pretty much anywhere. And this is why this information is so important. You know, people need to do their own research and look into this, because there may be a simple solution to these problems. Yes. You just have to find the right doctor and do your research.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Erin, is there anything you'd like to say before we close? We're coming to the end of the show here. And would you like to leave people with a message of hope, or with anything that you'd just like to tell them?
Sure. I wanted to say, go to the website, eatpraygetwell.com. You're not only going to find recipes on how to eat an antifungal diet and enjoy it, but almost every recipe comes with an inspirational story or message. Because I know people have been through a lot when you have a chronic illness. You know, it weighs heavy, and it can affect all your relationships, and it's a difficult road. So I wanted to keep it light, and lots of inspiration on that website.
Yes, and it's a very good website. I've been on there, and a lot of inspiring stories.
Thank you.
Well, this is something that people, again, you need to investigate, especially if you have a chronic illness or something, you just can't seem to get well. Not saying that's what it is, but it's something that you definitely need to rule out. So do your research and investigation, and if you find that maybe your problem, find a good doctor that treats mold, that knows what to do and how to treat it, and that can advise you and help you to get the mold, out of your system, and show you how to kind of live so that mold won't affect you and harm you in the future. Thank you, Erin, for taking the time out for this interview. And I'm so glad you're better. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And, of course, we're on the America Out Loud Network. And as always, take care until next time.